Hello and welcome to This Week on Channel 9.
Hi guys.
This is Nikola.
Yeah,
and I'm Vlad.
They know me before. If you don't know us, watch the previous videos.
All of them.
Like right now, we'll wait. I mean, you'll pause that. That's how we'll wait. We're not going to actually stay here.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense.
Let's do it. So where are we?
Why don't you tell me?
I think it's Commons.
Yeah, so we are actually, it's a great day outside. So we thought, why not go outside and shoot this? I don't want to be inside on such a beautiful day and not see the sun at all. If there's no clouds outside, which is, you know, for Seattle, we don't get that, you know, no clouds that often. So we're going to be out here. And we also wanted to, you know, hang out here where all the Microsoft people hang out. Right now, there's a whole party going on one of the football fields. It's actually pretty fun. They have a climbing wall. They have bouncy castles. It actually looks pretty cool.
And we have no idea what is this party about.
I think it's a Skype summer party. Yeah, I think they have it. Every group has their own kind of party. It's actually pretty fun. We should go crash it after this.
We have ours
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is gonna be fun.
Today is Thursday, actually.
Well, when you watch this video, it's going to be Friday, hopefully.
Yeah.
And this is the area where all the Microsoft employees hang out. We have a bunch of shops, a bunch of restaurants here. There's a bunch of cool stuff. There's fountains. You know, you can just hang out, do your, you know, workouts here outside and just have fun.
Yeah, just to make sure, you know, it's a Microsoft campus. So Commons is part of Microsoft campus.
Yeah. And I mean, people can still come out here, even if they're not Microsoft employees.
Sure,
they can come and hang out here. It's actually pretty cool. Let's dive in right in. I think we had some cool news happening this week, especially with Docker.
Uh-huh.
There was a DockerCon this week. We had a lot of cool announcements. There's actually a cool post by Corey Sanders that talks about all the new innovations that we've done with Docker and that we've announced.
Yeah, it's part of our partnership. And we just started it about a year ago.
It's been a long year, but we've had a lot of cool innovations that we announced. Some of the innovations that we announced, I'm going to read through them. It's the Windows Server containers, the Hyper-V containers, Docker VM extensions for Linux on Azure, Docker CLI support on Windows, Compose and Swarm support on Azure, Visual Studio tooling for Docker. There's many cool things. Mark Rusinovich was on stage. He did some cool demos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he showed some cool things about the first multi-platform a container application and ability to deploy a .NET application using Visual Studio into the Docker container.
There was a bunch of tweets about that, a bunch of hype.
Amazing,
so
yes.
it was
it's
amazing.
A lot of cool stuff.
Initially, one of demos we did at DockerCon was a Visual Studio Code demo. So basically, with this demo, we announced support Docker in Visual Studio Code. So we introduced IntelliSense for Docker before, but with this release we went like further, and now we have like in context tips. So it's not just IntelliSense. You kind of can get help with your Docker files. We also improved the IntelliSense itself, so it gives you like all the IntelliSense stuff, giving you context, giving what you're doing now with the Docker file, and we also made the support for Docker images. So you have IntelliSense with your Docker images, and we don't just process the Docker images. You have Docker itself, what they call it, Docker Hub. Overseeing all Docker files you have on your machine, and you kind of understand like how can we do it better, and it's kind of it's again all about IntelliSense, and it's going to be easier to work with Docker files and Visual Studio Code now.
Yeah, this is a great post by Eric that he does. I mean, he does note that this is just a demo that they're working on from Visual Studio Code. It will be available eventually in the platform. It's kind of the new plugin model that they're working with, support they're working on, but it is a really cool demo, and I think if you go through this. This blog post talks about a lot of cool stuff.
And Visual Studio Code is awesome.
So there's a new post by Anton Moleta that talks about the new test drive web demos that we just posted. So for those who don't know, we have a whole test drive site where you can have many
for
different
years.
Demos.
For years.
We started with IE9. We started posting demos for web developers. They can look at all the new features that are coming out. We've continued doing it for IE10, IE11. We've put in a lot of cool new demos for Edge. Now that you can actually take a look. Some of those demos are things to do with the web audio support that we've added. Some of the new Matt API precision. I think there's some cool WebGL samples that we have put up there. It's a very cool site to actually go and take a look and play around
with. Yeah, it's open source, so it's a big deal.
Open source, and you can fork it on GitHub. So you know, it's all out there. You know,
the biggest thing we're gonna make even more demos and make them open source, so you can play with it. You can use it in your project. So that's really awesome.
And if you want, you can contribute back, and people can look at it. It's open source.
And talking about Windows 10, recently Adam Dinning published a post about Windows 10 SDK, what we're going to do in terms of like the release cadence, what we're going to do with the compatibility, what we're going to do with the bridges for other platforms.
And actually, so far we've had, many releases for Windows, but not many releases of the SDK, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what we announced, starting this month, we're going to release updates for the SDK more often. So you're going to be getting like bug fixes and actual updates for new features, because we're releasing new builds of Windows with the new features. So you're going to have all these like Windows metadata for Windows 10 in your SDK. We also said that we obviously gonna maintain compatibility, so we're gonna maintain Windows 8.1 SDK. So we're gonna be fixing bugs. We're gonna be respectful to Windows 8.1 because many people are still doing 8.1 stuff.
I think he also talks about VB support and all kinds of support. We're gonna continue all the
people are doing VB net stuff. It's very popular language still. And
this is super cool because you actually get as an insider, you don't get just access to their new consumer features, you get access to new developer features they're working on them. It's pretty cool, you know. There's a new feature we have to the SDK, you get access to it.
And it's part of our Windows 10 strategy. You're getting updates, you're getting bug fixes, but you're getting new features, but not just for the OS, but also for the SDK as a developer. And the last but not least is about our bridges. It actually has kind of family of SDKs, starting from Project Astoria as an Android compatibility bridge, then Islandwood as an iOS compatibility bridge, then Sentinel as a Win32 compatibility bridge, and finally Westminster, which is a web compatibility bridge. Westminster is available now, so you can use it as part of Windows 10 SDK, as part of Visual Studio, with regards to all other SDK. We're gonna share more information this summer.
There's a lot of information already out there. If you go to Channel 9 on our for build sessions, we have a build session for all these different cool sessions. You know, those cool features. You can go check them out right now, actually.
Yeah, it's not very easy to find those sessions because of their names for some reason. But if you make some effort, it's gonna be there. So
let's talk about the Win2D. You know, I've played around with Win2D a bit, and Wishin has a cool post about writing Win10 apps with VB.net, and one of his posts is about Win2D. Now, you're a graphics guy, and I want you to talk a bit about this.
Yeah, Win2D is actually our new API, and as a part of our, again, new strategy, this API started even before Windows 10, and it's available open source, surprisingly. So,
it should be surprising.
Yeah, it shouldn't be now. So, it basically gives .NET developers and Windows runtime developers a good rich set of APIs for making high-performance 2D graphics. So it's basically a wrapper on top of Direct2D, and it's really easy to understand. It's really fast, and having posts like this, it's even easier to get started with Win2D.
I've played around with it, and what's cool about it, there's already pre-built effects and stuff you can apply to different things. I was playing around with the one effect we can actually do really cool composition of text and really cool effects, and to make sure that everything all can be done in, instead of like 2,000 lines of code in C++, you can do it all in 20 lines of code in C#.
Yeah, and Win2D is so cool. So even our friend David, who is a famous JavaScript guy who made Babylon.js, he recently published a post about doing Win2D stuff in C#. So Win2D is so awesome. So even David
talks about how he took an image and he just blurred it with using Win2D, and how simple that is now compared to how complicated it might have been in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah. Final topic, let's talk about .NET open source. This is just a quick post that Bette Massey has posted. Mm-hmm. And I like this post because it talks about all the .NET open source that we have currently. It kind of does an overview of what .NET is and what part of it is open source, what part isn't open source, and what does that mean for developers and how to get started.
What you can
it's just
do
a
on
huge
what
overview.
Can.
Yeah, exactly. It's a huge overview of everything that we've open source and how everything works together. It talks about the .NET Core, how is that different than .NET 4.5, etc. So
yeah, basically, if you are a .NET developer and you want to start working with what we actually open sourced, it's a good overview and it has all the links, like where should you go and like what we
it's
can
it's
try.
A great, you know, just bookmark this post and it's great to come back and just review it in the future.
Yeah, and we reached
picks
of the week.
Finally. So what's your pick of the week, Len?
My pick of the week is JSON.NET 7.0 release 1. It's a new version of JSON.NET library. It's really cool, and as its author said, the biggest improvement for JSON.NET 7 is actually documentation, which is a big deal if you are just getting started with JSON.NET, with working with JSON and .NET performance with C# or VB.NET. It's a big deal because the library is really powerful. It's big. You may do a lot of things. And actually, we are working with like partners projects, and we realize like basically every second project, if it's a .NET project, uses JSON.NET.
In it feels like
some,
it is like that,
some,
right?
Some
yeah.
form.
You can always, it's always project you can find it.
Like, even projects that are kind of database related, they're storing everything in databases. Some pieces are kind of JSON-based because it's really popular. It's like the de facto standard for data exchange. And I'm talking, like, there is no doubt you're using JSON when you're working with modern REST APIs and all this stuff. So it's really important. Now, what about your pick of the week?
My pick is actually a bit more fun. So there was a new video that the HoloLens team posted, and I actually been waiting for this video.
Yes.
So it built, for those that don't know, we had a Holo Academy, HoloLens or Holographic Academy, where developers got together and then we did a lab where they learned how to use a lot of the cool features of HoloLens, how to develop applications for HoloLens. They learned a lot about how to use gaze, how to use gesture, voice, how to do spatial sound so they can make the sound coming from behind or wherever in the environment. Learn how to do spatial mapping so you can put things on actual tables so they can mix these holographs with the real world. It's a cool video. It's a very short video, but it covers a lot about what you need to think about when you're building this holographic application. But what I like about it also talks about how this is just a universal Windows platform, so you can even build universal Windows application. They can just run on the HoloLens. It's a cool video.
Basically, this video gives you a very short but very insightful overview of how you jump from like completely application oriented reality to mixed reality with the HoloLens. Like if you're paying attention to every word they say, that's gonna be big value with this video for you.
So I think that's all we have for today. We're gonna go now and enjoy the party, enjoy the sun, and have some fun. I hope you get some sun and go out yourself. Stop working, you know, get some rest.
It's not Friday, man. It's not Friday.
It will be Friday eventually, and then Saturday and Sunday. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.